Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa!
And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome to Checking In with Michelle Williams, a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect.
Okay, y'all. I feel like I know her. She probably gets this all the time, as do I, and I actually love it. I think the pandemic helped us to get some new siblings, aunties, cousins, you know. And so I feel like Candace would be a fun cousin. Like, girl, I can't wait for her to come by. She's my favorite cousin at Thanksgiving, New Year's, Christmas, 4th of July. This is my cut-up buddy. All right. I admire her so much. She's a theologian, essayist, columnist, baker, y'all. Yes, she can bake. She can cook. And an educator who has written for Essence, Glamour, The Griot, The Root, Vice, Shonda Love Network, and about Black women's shared experiences of faith, healing, empowerment. Please welcome, I'm going to say the full name, Candace Marie Benbow.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Listen, there's so much to talk about.
Yes.
And I look at a lot of things that you share. I have to go to columns that you've written because so much of what you say challenge me in a good way. It makes me go to my own Bible and look things up. And I know you have probably shaken a few tables of even people that we admire and esteem in various sectors, secular, religion, and you have no fear of challenging. Not that you're trying to be, you know, some people, I think it's a spirit. You just be wanting to be difficult and challenging. No, it's like, no, y'all, I went to school for this. I kind of discovered, no, this is different than what we've been taught, or this has been different than what we've just been regurgitating. And that's why I'm so excited to have you here today to speak on all things baking, women's empowerment, your fitness journey.
Girl, I'm trying. I am trying.
I mean, congratulations.
Thank you.
On everything.
Thank you.
How you feeling today?
I'm good. It's really interesting because this is I tell people I have officially entered my grief baking season. So the fall gets a bit hard for me because when my mom passed and my grandmother has, it's been a year since she's been become an ancestor, and I bake to get through that. And so, like, I told my friends, I was like, I'm making apple cider donuts today. And they were like, we'll be over by six. So it is a very, today I feel good. Like, it's one of those moments where years removed from losing my mom, I know how to navigate these moments in ways that I really didn't have it at the beginning of our journey, of my grief journey. So it's a good day. It's a good day.
Yes. Tell me again when you lost your mom or when she transitioned.
November the 14th, 2015. So we're coming up on 8 years.
And I know you probably slapped somebody or will be near slapping somebody if they tell you, ma'am, it's been 8 years. Get over it. What do you say?
You know, I heard that like a year after my mom passed, that like, oh, it's been a year. Like it's some things that you should be able to do by now. And, I tell people because I just had someone reach out to me and she was like, help me to understand when it gets easier, because I hear people say that it gets easier with time. And I told her, I was like, I don't necessarily think that that's true. I think that with time, we learn how to adjust in the moment. Like I tell people all the time, like I lost my mama. I didn't lose an ink pen. Right. So like, when you lose anyone who has played a significant role in your life, that's a huge adjustment. So there are moments where I can think of my mama and laugh and go on about my day. There are moments where I just like, my mama is really gone. And it's a sobering moment. Mm. And then there are days where it can be so heavy that the only thing I did was get up, take a shower, and I got right back in bed. And it felt as heavy as it did the day that she passed. But I've learned how now, thanks to therapy and thanks to just friends and reading and learning more about different grief journeys, I've learned how to navigate those moments differently. So I would never say that it gets easier. I just think that we learn with time how to navigate each kind of moment that grief brings.
Yeah. 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 Would you say that, were you taught how to grieve loss? Like, did you go through, like, okay, there are 9 steps. I've learned there are 9 steps. Some people say there are 7 steps or 5 steps. I don't know. Do you feel like you grieve loss properly, or is there still stuff you're learning about grief?
So I will say I didn't go through, when I first lost my mom, I don't know what stage I was in. I just knew everything fell apart and there was really no way for me to make sense of it. Like nothing made sense. She was a single mom. I'm an only child. So like in a blink of an eye, my whole immediate family was gone. Right. So like, it was like, how do you make sense of that? And so she passed in November. In January, I knew that I had to go to therapy. So I started therapy that January. And my therapist she just walked with me. Like, she was just like, you know, there are going to be days where, I mean, we talked about all of the different stages of grief. And she was like, there are going to be days where those are going to be interchangeable for you. But one thing that she said, and I share with people, is that I never let anyone else's journey become mine. So there was one of the things that I learned from me was the only way that I could grieve wrong. And I say that I put that in air quotes. The only way that I could grieve wrong was to not honor that I was grieving, right? Like, if the moment that I was like, oh, I'm fine, like, this is, no. Like, I had to be very honest. I had to be really honest about the way that things, it undid me and my own undoing. I had to build myself. I had to be built back up, right? And so I think when you are going through a particular moment of just profound sadness, profound loss, you don't really know, right, what's right. Like, you just don't know. And you will make mistakes. There are things that I did in the midst of grieving that I look back and I'm like, yeah, I was out of my mind.
Ah.
But I also had to give myself the grace of like, girl, you had lost your mama. Like, you, so, and when you lost your mama, you lost your mind. Like, you didn't know. And so I've had to learn to give myself an abundance of grace and just say, you've never been there before. You didn't know what that meant. You didn't know what to expect, but you're here now. And what can you take from that to apply to the times where it's going to get heavy again?
So, so good. Thank you for sharing. And I allow space for when folks come on the podcast to talk about grief, loss, you know, their journey, because the foundation of this podcast is about mental health, although we talk about a myriad of things. So thank you for sharing that. If I may share, I lost my dad in December of 2020. And I'm noticing the fall brings feelings of missing because his birthday is November 13th. So the fall makes me think of my dad. And literally a couple of days ago, I shared with someone. I said, I miss my daddy this morning. So I began to just listen to some of his favorite songs that I knew that he liked, just so I wouldn't like tank, you know, just have a, although I don't want to fall into a depression, right? Yeah. Because I am aware of what happens around this time of year. First, because people already deal with the seasonal affective disorder, that seasonal depression, right? So you couple that with, if you ever went through seasonal depression, imagine coupling that with the loss of your mom, even though it has been 8 years. So what you shared, someone definitely is going to be thankful for it. I know I am. Yeah. And you shared that your mom, single mom, only child. And you shared that the mourning experience, that it helped you shed certain restrictions of faith. And you embrace alternative spirituality. Can you share? Because, you know, for me, I'm like, now what?
Listen.
The black, what is it? Listen.
It was so funny because I will be very honest. There were two reasons why church, when in the immediacy of my mom's passing, why church couldn't be space for me. The first reason was because I grew up in church and I did not have a memory of church that did not include my mother. So I was already, and this included going to, when I was in college, when I was in grad school, even when I was living in Jersey before my mom passed, I would go to, when I was on my way to church and when she was on her way to church, we were calling each other. So I didn't have a memory of church that didn't include her. So when I was going to church, it hurt. It was heavy, right? Then the other reason why was because I was really tired of hearing trite cliches that really didn't help me. So when
for example, give us an example of what you feel. I hope it's not putting you on the spot.
No, what you, I'm gonna tell like. You too, that I was like, what the heck? So this lady came to my house, you know, that week before the funeral when everybody's dropping off chicken and pound cake.
Yes, Lord.
She said she was, because my mom passed unexpectedly. So if she did not have an illness.
I'm so sorry.
She actually had an asthma attack and she passed in her sleep. So it was unexpected. So this lady came to my house and she said, you know, I asked the Lord why he took Debbie. And he told me he took Debbie because Satan know that his time is winding up. And everybody just looked. And I was like, I said, well, why do you have to take my mama if it was Satan's problem? And so my uncle was like, well, you know what she meant. I said, no, I don't know.
No, don't.
It doesn't make any sense. And so then another person came and said to me, this was when I was just really like, okay, I can't do this. My mom and my dad were not married. And this was a particular pastor that my mother was really close to in the city, well respected.
Yeah.
And I thought that he was just coming to give condolences, and he gave condolences. And he pulled me to the side and he asked me, he said, if I knew if my mama ever repented. And I said, well, repented for what? And he began to tell the story. And my college, I actually talk about a little bit in the book, but my college sweet mate, Janelle, was right there. And he began to tell the story about how my mom, and I already knew the story, that my mom went to stand up in front of the church and apologize when she was pregnant. And so here it is. My mama had just died. We were at home and in my mama's house. Like, we were in my mama's house. And this man that she had such a profound respect for was essentially asking me, did my mama make sure that she repented before she died so she didn't end up going to hell? And I'm like, I cannot be anywhere where there are, where anybody's preaching at this point, because it's just, it's going to make me mad. And then there was a moment where, it was months later, I was not doing well. And one of my former pastors reached out to me, and I thought that it was going to be a good conversation. And he said to me, he was like, you got to figure out this grief thing because too many women are looking at you and you're not teaching them how to grieve well. And you don't want your mama to look down and wonder if she didn't do right in the ways that she taught you.
Candace.
Yeah. At that moment, I remember I got off the phone with him. I pulled out my phone and I deactivated all of my social media accounts because I was just that mad. And I was like, I can't be in church anytime soon. But what's funny is I was like, I can't be in church, but I cannot not be a part of a faith community.
Something.
It's that church girl. Like, I was like, you can't forsake the Assembly of the Saints. It might not be church, but it's going to be something. And so I joined a Buddhist prayer community and I met with them weekly and I read my Bible. I have a playlist of YouTube sermons of Bishop G.E. Patterson. I listened to them.
Come on.
Like I listened to them for a year and a half, and I'm was born missionary Baptist, so I love aligned hymns. So I had a playlist of aligned hymns.
Yeah.
And I dug deeper into the ways that I was feeling my mother around me. And I'll never forget, I went to see one of my mentors, Pastor Anthony Bennett in Connecticut. And I told him, I was like, I'm so sad. I was like, I can't even pray. Like, I was like, because there was this moment where I was just like, what is happening? Like, this is too heavy. And I was like, I can't even pray. And I told him, I was like, I open my mouth and I want to say something, But I'm so mad at God because I just don't think that this is fair. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, every time you cry, you're praying.
Candace, you're helping somebody, because even you saying, I was mad at God, you didn't get struck down by lightning.
At all. At all.
And we have been taught to don't question God, accept what God allows.
Yeah.
I can accept it after I've done, after I've cried about it, after I've grieved it. Exactly. But in the moment.
In the moment. You can't. And I remember he told me, he said, when you get out of bed, he said, your posture is a prayer. He said, so when you are getting out of your bed and you're sad and your shoulders are hunched over, he was like, you are already signaling to God that you need help. He said, so if you don't have words this season, it's okay. He was like, because everything that you are doing signals that you need God to help you now. And I hung to that because so there are several things. I knew that it didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter how I constructed faith for me coming out of this moment. I knew I was always going to go back to church, and church was going to be included in it, because church was dear to me and my mama, right? Like, it is, like, to this day, when I go back to my family church, my home church, St. Stephen.
Which is where?
St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Winston-Salem. They tell the story of how I was in the fellowship hall as a little girl telling other kids to be quiet and, like, telling everybody what to do. And somebody said, whose child is that? And they said, that's Helen Bimbo's granddaughter, and you better leave her alone. And they said, well, leave her alone then. So, like, they tell these stories of me in church. Like, I am not who I am without church. Like, standing up and reading the announcements. I knew I was going to go back one day, but I needed to be healed, and I needed to be whole, and I needed to parse through what I had been told from what I knew to be true. And I think that that is, for a lot of us, the journey that can hurt, because whether we go on that journey through loss, or whether we go on it because we just got a lot of questions and we need to be able to answer them, it takes a minute to adjust from the reality of all of these things that I heard. And I believed that they were God's voice, because the people that I loved and the people that I admired
were saying it. Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily reflect who I knew God to be to me. That's a hard moment. And it takes a lot for you to go to get to a point where you are comfortable in saying, this is the relationship that I have with God. It is deep. It is strong. It pulls from those wells that founded and grounded me, but it's also my own, right? That was the journey that I took after Mama passed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. My grandmother would tell me, baby, they mean well. Mm-hmm. So when you were telling me about the person that told you something about Satan knew his time was up, right? And the other person saying, you know what she meant. And you're like, no, I don't know what she meant. But she got that from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, so much of what we say is passed down, is generational. And some of it, and it's meant to soothe and make us feel better. You know, and or the other person. I know exactly. I've had family members that have had children out of wedlock, and they had to go down to the front of the church and apologize and repent, or you couldn't sing in the choir no more. You had to, and then get this: when the baby is christened, the baby's father cannot stand up at the altar with the baby mama and family, because they were unmarried.
Well, see, at least they got christened, because There are still several churches back at home, and one that my mom was at the time, that if you are not married, they don't even allow you to dedicate the baby. I don't think I got blessed when I was born, because my mama would not.
And look at you, blessed. Listen,
because my mama would not. She was like, I'm not. She said, and I'll never forget, she told me that. She was like, to stand in front of people. She said, first of all, I don't know what they doing in their house. And I wasn't going.
And true.
And she said, so, and to stand in front of them would say that you are a mistake. And I'll never forget, she was like, the devil can't give life. So if I had you, if I was pregnant with you, then the only person, that the only being that could give me you was the source of life. And that was God. So she said, I was like, yeah. I was not going to do that. And so I held that even as I was raised in church, where I heard some stuff. Like, you know, I grew up hearing sermons my whole life that told me that I should be better than my mom, because my mama had me and she wasn't pregnant. I mean, she wasn't married. I grew up with a mom who very much raised me with this very kind of feminist outlook and defiance when it came to that. But then she would also say crazy stuff that I heard. And I'd be like, no, mama, where you get that from?
We get that from.
And then it was only years later, like a couple years before she passed, like when I was in seminary and we would talk about things. And I would say, like, why would you say stuff? Like, why did you say stuff like that? And she was like, I was raising a girl by myself in the 90s. I was going to say whatever I needed to say to keep your legs closed. And you out of trouble. And so it was in those moments too where I've learned to give grace, because and I'm gonna say this very quickly because this adds to context. So the day before my mom passed was the terrorist attacks in London. And she and I were talking because I was scrolling Facebook and I was seeing all these people say God did this to get our attention, and I was like, people are dying and God didn't need to do this to get our attention. And my mama told me to stop. She said, because people are doing the best that they can and they are giving what they have been taught, and they are being as kind and as gracious as they possibly can be. And she said, and one day they're going to say these same things to you. I'm getting chills thinking about it. She said, one day they're going to say these very same things to you. I didn't think that the next day, that the one day was going to be the next day. But I had to learn. I don't believe that people are malicious, right? Like, even that pastor who asked that. Now, while I believe that it was rooted in some sexism and some patriarchy, I don't believe that he did not respect and love my mother. I do believe that we can hold to some very rigid and unloving interpretations of scripture and religious culture that will make the very people that we love and respect enemies when they shouldn't be, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't think that when I was growing up in church, that everybody who made me feel bad for my parents being who they were meant to. And now I think that that's part of the work that I know that I have been called to do, is because even if you didn't mean to make me feel bad, you did. And so how do we heal those harms? And then how do we also ensure that they never happen again? And the only way that we can ensure that they never happen again is to have some very hard and honest conversations. One about scripture, one about how we frame our relationship with God, to how that relationship then impacts our relationships with ourselves and with the people around us. That's the only way that we ensure that there are not people who walk out of church or who walk out of encounters with people that should have been caring and loving and say, I don't want to do this no more.
Yeah. And so what I'm hearing you say is a lot of church hurt that's been inflicted has been out of ignorance.
Yeah.
And not that you, I heard you even say, it's not that I don't think he didn't love my mom, which leads me to believe in that ignorance. Did he have a good heart?
Mm-hmm.
But just said some things out of ignorance, or like you said, he hasn't studied, or maybe have. It's kind of like we can also say things when we haven't traveled a lot in the world and allow other differences, cultures, beliefs, races, and everything sit among people and be like, man, so-and-so has a good heart, no matter what if he don't believe, but they have a great heart. And the thing is, we want everybody to be peaceable, be loving, and embrace the differences. But we got to like come on and stop being ignorant, because people are being hurt.
Yeah,
you were hurt.
Yeah.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
You mentioned your book. I've been following you so long. I remember when you were writing the book.
Yes.
You getting the first copy, the release date of the book, and just the launch of that book. And y'all, this is the book, and I'm going to give you the full title. It is called Red Lip Theology for Church Girls Who've Considered Tithing to the Beauty Supply Store When Sunday Morning Isn't Enough. And you mentioned a couple reasons why you would have rather tithe to the beauty supply store. And did. And I was going to share how, you know, you write about the experiences in your heart as a Black woman in faith. So you're sharing all these experiences, any beautiful experiences that you've had. But from the before your mom passed or even after your mom passed, regarding how you were able to get back, meaning so you took a break from actually attending church, mm-hmm. understandably so, right? Mm-hmm. And anything that you discovered beautiful before then or after?
I tell people I have this imagery of one day I was in my house. And I was just crying. And I held my hand out and I was like, God, I just need you to hold my hand. Like, I just need you to hold my hand. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, we have a God who grieves and mourns with us and who does not always rush to give us these explanations that other people do, but who holds our hand and lets us know that we are not alone. And that for me was the piece that I needed to move back into the space of saying I needed to be a member somewhere. Like so it's also funny too. And I think that we don't recognize, particularly for single Black women who are raised in church, just how much church creates a sense of normalcy for Black women who aren't married. Because if they don't see you on Sunday, if they don't see you throughout the week, then they know something going on. If you have this kind of regimen, right? We were able to know that something was wrong with my mom because my mother goes to the 7:45. She went to the 7:45 service at her church. She was always home by 6. So when nobody heard from her after 6 o'clock, we knew something was wrong because she at home every Saturday by 6, ready to go to church. So particularly for me as a young Black woman, even though I was still connected to my pastor in New Jersey, even after I took a sabbatical, which was important to me to tell him that I needed to take a break from church.
So good.
And he was very supportive and was like, well, and his wife and him, I they treated me like they're one of their kids. And they were like, well, you ain't got to come to church, but you're going to come over here and eat. Like, we still need to lay out.
That's right.
But there was a moment where I was like, I need to, when I moved here to Atlanta, I was like, I need to be a member of a church. Like, I need to be a part of a congregation. And I'll never forget, like, going in there, going back in church, the first time that I was able to go in there and enjoy service and not feel heavy because my mama wasn't there. And that I could remember, like, there was one part where I didn't know that it was Youth Sunday that I was going, mm-hmm. and the kids were ushering. And I remember when I was a youth usher, and I just smiled the whole service because I was just happy that there were, like, parents who still took their kids to church and let them usher, because, you know, that don't be happening all the time. And so,
right.
And so it was for me that I didn't just find a safe space. I had found room to be back a part of a legacy that meant so much to me and means so much to me. Now I will say, I asked to be a part of the, and I hope they listening too, because I did ask to be a part of the hospitality ministry. And
what happened?
They kind of looked at me like I wasn't old enough. And I told her, I was like, I can't cook. I promise I can cook. And she was like, okay, well, we're going to call you. They never did.
What's the age minimum for hospitality?
Can I tell you, everybody over there look at least over 70. And I feel like that is not, a good strategy.
Wait a minute. It is not. I was reading church announcements, seasoning chicken, serving chicken. I was a teenager. I was young.
But see, y'all was Kojic. Baptist, that whole space, that is like old Black women territory. And like,
I can see that.
They don't play.
My grandmother was missionary Baptist. My granny was missionary Baptist. And I loved, how do I say this? I don't want to offend or trigger nobody. I don't know, them green beans at the repast or the cabbage at the repast.
Listen, green, like I know to this day, so all of my family is coming for Thanksgiving because I cook.
Yes.
So my cousin literally said, can we have funeral green beans? I know exactly what he meant.
And they're so good. They are so good. I don't know why. And they probably, they would be unacceptable elsewhere possibly. But I don't know. It's something about that fellowship hall at the church. And they serve you. And they got them gloves on their hand. And they serve you with that big little spoon.
So much so that my kitchen in my townhouse, my friends named it the fellowship hall. And I have a table. And I particularly bought this table because it had a church pew with it. So, like, they call my kitchen the fellowship hall. And it makes me so happy. Because this is another part of what it means to heal. My friends come here now to sleep, eat, and just do whatever they want to do. Whereas there was a season of my life where they had to literally come and check on me because I was that sad and things were that heavy. So like they were like, we just came to lay eyes on you, right? We need to make sure that you were okay. Now they come and they literally give me their list of all the stuff they want me to cook before they get here.
I love it.
And it's such a beauty. I would say this for anybody who is grieving, for anybody who is going through loss, when you talk about beauty and finding it, there's something very beautiful about being able to reflect on the journey, right? Like there was to be able to be in a moment where I remember when friends were coming and just holding my hand because I had been crying for weeks. So now they're like, so you didn't make no macaroni and cheese? I asked you. A week ago, you ain't got none. You know, like so that like you will. There will be moments where, and I. This was the mantra for me, was that life could still be beautiful. That like even though colors felt dull to me after my mom died, even though there was just like, it, there was just something different about life, it could still be a beautiful life. And so I remember, I want to say, so I moved to Atlanta October of 2020. And I moved into my townhouse in 2021. And I remember praying to God and I said, God, I want something to make me have a state of awe every day. Like I want to, for all of the deep wells of grief that I knew, I want to know deep wells of joy. And I mean, I prayed that. I prayed that. And
come on.
And I said, for as sad as I was, I know I can be that happy.
Come on. Yeah.
I was like, I know I can be that happy. And there will be, I can't tell you when it will happen for you, but I do know that there will be a moment that you look back and you will experience something that makes you feel as happy, that in a way that you never thought was possible before. And you will say, I'm going to hold on to that. Like, I want to feel that as much as I possibly can. And that's the moment that you realize, okay, I can do this thing called life. Like, I can live, mm-hmm. I can live without this person in this particular iteration of my life, and I can be happy. Like, that was it for me. Like, that was when I,
yes,
it can be beautiful. Yeah.
Yes. Wow. Thank you for sharing. I promise you, I know you have just freed someone, or you're giving them permission to feel everything. Yeah. You're giving them even permission if they literally, like you said, taking a sabbatical to those places that aren't so safe for you right now, or taking a sabbatical period because it means rest. And that sabbatical means, first of all, folks are supposed to be taking sabbaticals like every 7 years. Mm-hmm. Now, way life set up, I might do one every year, but
I'm doing one every 7 years.
You know what I mean? Okay, so thank you so much, because there's a lot going on. And y'all, I forgot to also add in her resume, she was the church girl, Beyonce song church girl. You were the church girl advocate. She does these carousels where you can swipe on her Instagram posts, and you can, honey, could put some of y'all's favorite ministers to shame as it relates to her thoughts on church girl, just as it relates to loss, just as it relates to faith, as it even relates to respectably, I mean, we know things are going on between Israel and Palestine. And so thank you for that, because I've had to read and really, because I'll be honest, how much of things have gone on and we've said, oh, well, that's all the way over there. That don't have nothing to do with us. Now, I'll read the news about it. I'll be vigilant and pray, but we got to do more than that.
Yeah. We part of it too is that, you know, very briefly, like this is, what's happening in the Middle East right now is also very much grounded in religion. And so we have to, one of the things that I tell people is that there is a way for us to grieve what is happening and be empathetic to the plight of everyone, while also recognizing how some of the ways that our national and cultural beliefs get twisted and tied up with religion that can make people who should not be our enemies, our enemies. And so that's one of the things that as a theologian is important to me, that we think through, is how, like, wait a minute, how do we separate what we've been taught from what actually is? Like, how do you create room? And I think you said it earlier, of just like, what does it mean to be exposed? Like, I had friends as a little girl. It was important to my mother that not all of my friends were Christian. Mm. I remembered having friends who were Jewish and who were Muslim, and I had friends who didn't believe, and like, and I had friends who were Buddhist, and that I was exposed to all of these very different religions as a little girl and experiences as a little girl because my mother's friends were diverse. And I remember she would always tell me, like, you can believe what you believe. And other people can believe it too, can believe what they want to believe. But just because they believe differently than you does not mean that they're evil. It doesn't mean that they're wrong. And it doesn't mean that you're right. Mm-hmm. This is what we believe in this house. And this is what we believe in this family. And so what I hope is that even in a moment like this, that is so charged and so painful, is that we can also assess and say, what am I doing in my life that is either working towards or working against people who are not like me to feel included? People who are, don't believe like me to feel loved and to feel accepted. If you are not working towards inclusion and acceptance, then we really got to think about, are we showing Christ love? Like, are we showing what it means to be good humans? Even that's before faith. Like, am I a good human being? Right? Like, and that, yeah. I think that that's an important space, because even if you don't know what's happening around the world, somebody beside you is going through something.
Yes.
We all are. Yeah. We all are. So how do we create space that is inclusive and is empathetic and is caring?
Yeah.
That is what everyone needs.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going, because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Well, Candace, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I need there to be a part two.
Yes.
Because there is more that I can just glean from you and just listen. You know, because it's amazing. Some of my podcasts, it can be question after question. And then sometimes it's just like, I promise you, I kid you not, I had a feeling. I was like, let this be Candace's podcast today.
Thank you.
And it really is your podcast today. I wanted to make mention of something. We don't have to speak on this, but I want to make mention of something that I saw you do in the past. You did a campaign to help provide Black women housing grants because we are more likely to be behind on rent than white men, and five times more likely to be going through the eviction process than anyone else. And so I wanted to bring acknowledgement to that.
Thank you.
So y'all follow her. Do you have an ongoing link for that where people can just
hear,
do you just do that at a few periods of time throughout the year?
So we give them four times a year. I have an ongoing link. It's actually on my
IG bio.
Yeah, in my IG bio.
Okay.
Because what happened was that we had about, the first time we opened it, we had 2,000 women to ask for help. And each time that we've done it, we've had more sisters ask than any time. And so at the summer, I think we ended up with like 5,000 applications. And it just really goes to, it was really heartbreaking because we had more applications than we had funding, but it goes to the heart of what so many women are going through, so many people are going through. I will also say we already hit holiday season.
Yes.
You know, and that's a hard time for a lot of people. And one of the things that my mom taught me, and I've learned how to do this more, was she would help during, she would give to campaigns and stuff during the holidays, but she would always save to do more in January and February. And I was like, why are you doing that? And she was like, because some people will do all that they can do to make it through Christmas, and they won't have enough for January and February.
Yep.
And so she wanted to, and as a mama who single, a mama who was doing it by herself, she knew what that was like. So she would do that, and I've done it too. And I tell people all the time, if you can, think about the top of the year for people, because a lot of people get a lot of help during the holiday season and then need a lot more at the top of the year. But yeah, you can go to my bio, the link in my bio, and it's there and it's available.
Yes. Y'all, her Instagram page is simply, it's Candace Benbow.
Yep.
Okay, Benbow, or you can go to her website, CandaceBenbow.com. Click the link that says Home Sweet Home, all right? And it will tell you all about what we are talking about, so where you feel like you can give. People are like, well, I don't have thousands to give. Baby, $10, $100, $500 will definitely help to go towards somebody's rent. And y'all, please look out for Candace. There are times where major publications call on her to give commentary or do a column. It's just not faith. Y'all, she tore people to smithereens, you know, regarding Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez.
I don't play by her.
Okay, okay. She did not play about Beyonce.
I don't play by her.
When it came to the Renaissance tour, when it came to Church Girl, okay, you gave me language.
Oh, thank you.
During that period of, man, when it comes to certain family and friends and they're being torn apart in the media, sometimes I can go inward. Mm-hmm. Or when it comes to things that are going right on right now with the war, it's like, I don't have language. But thank you, Candace, for helping to give us language. I be wanting to repost, and I be like, okay, but I know these ain't my words, but you know, I can always give credit. But what it, you just give us language, mm-hmm. and you give us the kind of, and your boldness helps me to, strengthens me, makes me be a little more bold, because I'm just going to be fully transparent. You know, we were brought up in the time of even of artist development and being an artist. Yes, you can stand for certain things. You can have your causes, but lots of times we just keep quiet, not because we don't have anything to say, not because we're heartless, but it's going to take us unlearning and getting out of the fear of what will happen.
Yeah.
All right, because we've been told people only care about your music. You ain't a politician.
All right.
You know what I mean? So thank you for giving so many. I'll just speak for me, language.
Yeah, and I think too, I'll say this quickly. It's for some of us to take the hits and do the conversation. Like, it's like there are, I think often about the relationship between activists and entertainers during the civil rights and the Black Power movements, like that they were the ones who helped to sustain and support activists as activists stood on the front lines. Cause they knew what it took.
That's true.
We knew what it took.
Aretha, Mahalia.
Exactly.
Martin.
Exactly.
Look at me calling by their first name. Did you hear me? Mahalia was by Martin.
Exactly.
We talk about the great Mahalia Jackson and, correctly, Dr. Martin Luther King.
But the truth is that we knew, and we always know that our artists, some of our celebrities and athletes cannot make the statements that a lot of us can, but that doesn't mean that they don't stand with us, and it doesn't mean that they don't stand by us, but it does mean that those of us who can stand and speak freely should stand and
should. Got it. All right, Candace Marie,
thank you, girl.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute joy. When I tell you, you are welcome anytime to checking in. I live in Atlanta, and I don't know if you knew that, but I think we might have said it. I've been there since 2018, end of 2018.
Okay, well, let me know when you want me to cook, because I'm cooking.
I'm the person that's going to say, I'll bring the ice. I'll crush it. I'll even crush it and make sure it's crushed.
Wherever you want to, come.
All right. All right. Thank you for everything.
This was the highlight for me. So I actually needed it today. So this was a highlight for me. You know, I already told my uncle.
Okay.
My uncle Dean and my uncle Derek, my mother's sister, they went and they told the church that, so we was a part of the testimony service. One of my uncles, and he was like, Candace, it's going to be talking to Michelle Williams from the Destiny's Child. She's going to be talking to her. Uh-huh. So we're going to let y'all know. I don't know if it's going to be on TV, but we're going to let y'all know when it's coming. So my cousin.
Come on.
My cousin called me and she was like, why was you a church announcement? I was like, girl, that's your uncle too. So he was your uncle the same day he became mine.
We love you, Candace.
Thank y'all.
We'll see you again.
All right, talk soon.
All right, bye.
Checking In with Michelle Williams is a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful Black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by anxiety, struggling to find restful sleep, or plagued by a restless inability to focus? It's time to break free from the chains of mental health challenges and discover a path to healthy living. Welcome to Amen University, founded by renowned psychiatrist and brain health expert, Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen, alongside a team of esteemed doctors and experts in their fields, understands the struggles you're facing and are here to offer solutions. From debilitating anxiety to sleepless nights filled with worry, our courses are meticulously crafted to target these specific challenges head on. Join us on a journey of transformation led by Dr. Amen and a roster of top-tier professionals. Say goodbye to the constant battle with your mind and embrace a future filled with hope and possibility. Visit our website today to explore our courses and start your journey towards a brighter tomorrow. Use code BRAIN10 and get 10% off. That's code BRAIN10 and get 10% off your first purchase. Amen University, because your mental health matters.